Welcome to the Computer Help Show here on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. This is also the Public Affairs, Wednesday night Public Affairs. And again, my name is Rick Castellini, sitting alongside
Matt Kettlewell.
There you go, Matt. Well, now you go. Matt, you're on now. Matt Kettlewell. There he is.
We
got a few little particulars to get out of the way here at the top of the show, as always. So we're going to do that first, and then we're going to get back to you and your questions. We always like calls. We had a lot of great calls in the last show. So call us up again tonight, 241-8801, extension 1, and we'll get you on there and ask or answer your questions, and you get to ask whatever you want to ask. So 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can reach Matt and I a couple of other different ways. Matt is always monitoring his Facebook.
Yep, I'm on Facebook at Matt Kettlewell.
And your Twitter is?
Is at Kettlewell.
Or you can tweet me at HelpMeRick, and we'll get those during the show as well. So we get a few Twitter questions every now and again, so we do monitor that. And you get a few Facebook questions every now and again. So
Yep, and I'm pushing it kind of hard. I created a new Facebook cover that has an on-the-air theme to it, and
nice.
really tries to let them know that we're the tech guy show, and you know how to contact us and all
cool.
that good stuff. So I'm going to start putting that up, you know, a few hours before we're on the show, and just
excellent.
Just get people kind of in the mood to introduce new questions through that mechanism. And I did get a couple of questions, one of them was. They want to know a little bit about Slingbox.
Okay.
So I'm hoping you know a bit. I
know a bit.
Okay.
Slingbox is a little device that you hook to your home television and hook it to your satellite or your cable service. And the idea of it is that if you're already paying for cable internet or satellite internet and you have certain channels that you enjoy like HBO or Showtime or if you have the football extras or what have you, and you're traveling, you lose out on having the ability to watch those channels because you're sitting in a hotel or a friend's house or a family member's house. Well, the Slingbox allows you to watch your home television programming via the internet. So you hook up this little Slingbox to your home television system, and then when you're on the road, you can watch whatever's on your home TV, and it can be the DVR or it can be live TV, via the Slingbox software.
Wow. So it's not like you have to run on your home network. You can take your tablet with you.
Yes.
And your TV Slingbox setup is there at your house, and wherever you go with your tablet
or computer
or computer
right.
or phone,
it's
kind of
like a log me in or a remote access to your TV versus your computer.
Wow.
So that's what it is.
And I didn't even know about that,
and I have no idea what the cost is. I think the machine itself is like $150 or something.
It wasn't very expensive. They have two models. I saw that one was like their basic model, and then they had a souped up, you know, really high def kind of a thing.
Yeah, and that's the part I don't understand the differences are. And I don't know if there's any monthly costs.
It didn't look like there were any monthly costs.
Just a one-time thing?
Yeah, it looked like it was just the box itself.
All right.
I could be wrong on that, but I didn't see anything that suggested anything
otherwise.
But
that's the extent of my knowledge. You've now exhausted my knowledge of Slingbox.
All right.
But, I had a woman yesterday. She's retired, and we finished working on her computer, and she had a son of hers had given her a what they call a Blu-ray, Sony Blu-ray.
Nice.
With internet built in so she could do streaming and that kind of thing. And so she had it in the box, and she said, "Do you think you can help me with this?" And I said, "Well, like, we can try." So we looked at her setup, and her setup, she already had two DVD players, and she didn't have her television running through her stereo system, which is right next to it. And then she had the proverbial 16 remote controls and wasn't even running the HD off of her cable. So I did a little bit for her, but I am completely a neophyte when it comes to audio-visual stuff. Audio-wise, Mr. Adam can attest to this. He always made fun of me on the air. I know nothing about music. I love listening to it, but I know nothing about it. And when it comes to TV, I'm even dumber. So when you hook up all these electronics and trying to explain to people about aspect ratio and why some channels are clearer than other channels and what the difference between Blu-ray and regular DVD is, and what is streaming, and why do I have to pay for streaming from this? it's actually very complex.
It
TV
is.
Has gotten very complex.
It's become a niche service all by itself.
It's crazy. So that's what I told her. I said, you need to find an audiovisual expert. And there's quite a few in town.
There are, amazingly.
So I said, when you're ready, do this. And I said, but from what you've described to me, you don't necessarily need this at the moment. So anyway, that was another TV side story there, since you brought up the sling box.
Yeah, no, I knew nothing about it. I know I'd heard it a couple of times, but mm-hmm. So I watched a quick video on it just to, you know, kind of familiarize myself.
And they may have changed it. Anything else? Did it sound pretty accurate?
That sounded really accurate.
Okay,
yeah. It's different from, say, the Google TV or the Apple TV, where you have a box where you're actually taking whatever's on your tablet and pushing it to the TV.
Correct.
The Sling Box appears to be just the opposite. It's taking what's on your TV and pushing it to your tablet, phone, computer.
Through the internet, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of backwards, kind of reverse streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. You had another question, you said, that before the show.
Yes, I did, and I am looking for it.
Okay, okay. Well, when you find it,
yes,
let me know.
Well, today was my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And as we all know on Facebook, maybe you don't know, Rick, but when it's your birthday and everybody will post happy birthday. So I now have about 200 happy birthdays, and so I'm filtering through to go back and find
because I dislike Facebook so much, I change my birthday 3 or 4 times every year. Right before it says it's my birthday, I change it so I don't get those, because the people who really know me and really are my friends, they know when my birthday is. And for me to get 200 of people that I could give a rat's patootie about to say happy birthday, Rick, just because it came up in their feed, that irritates me. And I one time I had my real birthday, and I got that, and I said, this person doesn't even know who I am. Don't wish me a happy birthday if you don't know who I am. I don't call Oprah and say happy birthday, Oprah.
You don't? Oh, I send her a birthday card every
year. So I've changed it ever since then, and my real friends will say, hey, your birthday's not today. I say, thanks for noticing.
That's funny, Rick. Yeah. I actually appreciate it. I would say that at least 75% of the people that send me a happy birthday, I have communicated with in some way, shape, or form.
But are they friends? So I didn't know it was your birthday.
Most people wouldn't, because I don't announce it otherwise.
Right.
So unless you're...
Here's a little bit of paranoia on my part, too, is... With Facebook and these kinds of things out there, I actually encourage my kids and folks who ask me to not list my real birthday, because I think if you have your real name and your real birthday out there on the internet, you're giving two big pieces of the puzzle away for potential
fraud,
identity theft.
And identity theft. Yeah,
yeah.
I get that.
With Facebook, too, if you got your mother on there, and her mother's using her maiden name.
It's
then
true.
Then you've got your name, your birth date, and a maiden name there. It scares me.
It's getting close. I think that for real identity theft, I think without a little bit more. But, you know, like you say, you've got the start to stuff,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I think this is true of – it's much broader than just Facebook. I think it's just about any social service anymore.
Right.
Not even social service, just all sorts of services. That information is almost just common knowledge. Scary, but
it's possible.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
All right. You find your question?
Almost.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. If someone out there disagrees with me or agrees with me about Facebook and social media, let me know. I know that you and Adam both are huge Facebook fans and use it quite a bit,
more so
than any of the other social media.
Right, right.
And see, I don't use – I use Twitter on occasion, but it's just not something that – the social media just does not grab me, and I don't see huge benefits, and so I just don't do it.
Oh, I just got a Facebook message from my friend Jen.
Okay.
And she is –
your friend or your spouse?
Friend. No, friend. Real friend.
Okay.
Jen with two N's.
Oh, gotcha.
She is reminding us all that with Facebook – there is an option to actually disable your birthday altogether.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So you don't have to go through and change the profiles. And she's also a first-time listener. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, so
welcome
Jen.
local, Jen, or is she from she's
in Palisade. So okay, she is local, yes, yes.
Because you can listen to KFM, not just our show, but KFM in general, by going to kfmradio.org, and the streaming works really well.
Yes, it does. It really does. Yep.
So tell your friends and family in other parts of the world and country that they can listen anytime.
Yep.
By going to kfmradio.org.
Yeah, and so that was actually part of my big impetus for creating my Facebook timeline cover. So any of you listening, you know, if you go find my Facebook, you'll know exactly how to get in touch with us, because it has the phone number, the website, everything, so that you can, you know, stream Good. In and listen to us no matter where in the world you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, of course, we post up the podcast afterwards.
Absolutely.
And you can subscribe via iTunes or just go to our website, helpmerick.com.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. So. Did you find it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Can you paraphrase it? Do you remember?
Let me try and paraphrase it. She had something in her taskbar where the audio icons would just go away, and she was having to restart her machine and cross her fingers that it would come back. And she said, and I wasn't sure on this, she said something.
Back up. So her taskbar was missing.
Well, I think it was just a particular icon.
Oh.
But she was also mentioning that the scrolly thingy was missing. And I wasn't real clear on what she was asking of the actual question of part of it.
So that's a bad paraphrasing. So you better look it up.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Here's a neat news story that I just came across this afternoon. And this one says, this is a PC Magazine article. And it says, should we consider the smartphone a computer? What do you think?
Absolutely.
I think so. It does computing tasks.
It does so much more than that.
Right.
I mean, if you look at what a computer definition was 10 years ago, our smartphones are doing more than that.
Right.
You know, you can conference through meetings. You can host a meeting. You can attend a meeting.
With video.
With video. Right. I mean, yeah, the Google Hangouts. I mean, you can have video conversations.
Through your phone.
Yeah. You can do editing of a
less
document.
Than half a pound.
Yeah.
Quarter of a pound.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I agree totally. I think that we saw this after Thanksgiving with the holiday shopping and the Monday, Cyber Monday and all that stuff, that as has been the case on the internet since the invention of the internet, that every year there's more and more online shopping. Well, in the last 3 years, they've been tracking online shopping from smartphones. And that's continuing to increase by, I think this year it was up 33% or a third or so above last year.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds. So that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I was watching some video on the difference between, you know, desktop computing and mobile computing. And they were specifically relating to advertising. But they were talking about how we have just scratched the surface on smartphone usage. But the decline of the desktop is actually just declining, just astronomically.
Well, and yeah, I saw another article this week that said 2005 or 2006 was the first year that laptops outsold desktops.
Wow.
And then this year, 2012, will be the first year that tablets, so iPads and Android tablets, will outsell all laptops and PCs.
Whoa.
So
tablets?
Tablets are now the number one selling computing device.
Whoa. Even more so than phones or?
Well, I don't think they counted phones.
Okay.
I think smartphones, because it's still a phone.
Right.
Maybe that's what this article's alluding to.
That may be what they're getting at.
You know, that it's a phone. It does way much more than a phone. But, but yeah, I mean, I think that they're still considering it a separate genre, because a tablet, you can't make phone calls per se. You can, but but you can't.
Yeah. One of my big irks, by the way, I honestly think that, you know, tablets should have cell phone capability.
Yeah.
I would have been an early adopter if it had.
I remember 2 years ago when you said, I'm going to do that. And I said, sorry, can't do it yet.
Yeah. I mean, you can go through Google Voice or something like that. But it's,
Skype.
Yeah, Skype. And I guess you can do VoIP, get yourself an actual VoIP line that you can run through Wi-Fi. And run that way, and I guess that works.
But it's still not a cell phone.
But it's still not a cell phone.
Right. You still got to have a connection.
Exactly. And so that's my biggest gripe. But apparently other countries, you can get a tablet with cell phone technology. Yeah, but not in the U.S.
Ah.
And I don't know why. It must have something to do with the network. But
crazy. Okay, 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. Give us a call. Let us know these phones are working. because we did not test them before we started the show. So,
Oh, yes, please give us a call.
Yeah, 241-8801.
All right, so I did find the question.
Okay. Don't have to paraphrase.
All right, so this is from Susan, and she says, I can't figure out why sometimes my scroller function on my laptop just quits. So I have to shut down the whole thing for a few minutes, then restart and cross my fingers. Very frustrating.
Did she say, she didn't say what type of laptop?
Nope, she just said laptop.
And we don't know if she's talking, if she's using an external, an external mouse, like
right.
a cordless mouse,
right.
and scroll's not working on that, or if she's doing two-finger scroll, or...
Yeah, she's not saying for sure.
And we don't know if she's using Windows or Mac?
I would guess Windows.
You're gonna
on
guess.
This one, yeah.
And we don't know what version of Windows going that far.
Right.
We need you to call.
All right, Susan, give us a call.
241-8801, extension 1, because those are the kind of questions we would ask to try to figure out, get more information about what exactly is going on.
Yep.
Because we could speculate on a ton of different things, but it doesn't work. Hey, just one quick thing on the website at helpmerick.com. Mr. Matt helped me do this. YARP, is that what it's called?
Yes.
YARP.
Yet another related post.
Yeah, they just came out with a new version. I don't
Excellent.
Know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't.
And it includes thumbnails. So.
That's awesome!
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So it's a. If you're a regular purveyor of the internet and you're going through and looking at blogs like ours at helpmerick.com, you will find at the bottom of many articles, if the person who's doing the blog or the website has elected to do this, that they can put related articles. So if you're reading a particular article, and a way for us to try to keep you on our website is to give you options about other articles that are kind of related to what you just read. And they've always had the text version of those articles at the bottom, but now they've added the little thumbnails.
That is...
So I got to keep working on thumbnails. I don't have thumbnails on every site. Is there a way to do a default thumbnail?
Probably. I'll bet we can find a way
yeah.
to do that.
So
we may
have to go through all of the past
yeah.
posts.
Right. Yeah, we may have to custom program something for you to make that happen. But
that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I love the thumbnail feature of the new WordPress, the
yeah.
newer WordPress. It's
yeah,
cool.
It's absolutely. Yeah, I was actually going to be looking for something that was like that for one of my other blogs. But now that I see that YARP has that already,
mm-hmm.
I will just integrate that. Because YARP has been a WordPress plugin that I've used for many years.
Cool.
So thanks for pointing out that their upgrade included that.
Hey, you can let your Facebook friends know at helpmerick.com. They can pump up our Facebook numbers for the show website, the show Facebook, by liking helpmerick.com.
Oh,
so
oh.
post that. Do you mind doing it?
Yeah, no. That's
yeah,
fine.
Tell people to like us at helpmerick.com.
Yeah.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. AT&T is on track for record smartphone sales in the fourth quarter of this year, and it's also bolstered by the iPhone 5. That's a big thing coming up. I know the new Windows 7 phone came out, or the Windows 8 phone, I guess it is. Have you seen the Windows 8 phone?
No, I've seen a Windows 7 phone, but not a Windows 8.
Yeah, I haven't
not
seen
yet.
It yet, but Mm-mm. people are saying it's okay.
Yeah.
They said it's if you like Windows and you're working with Outlook.com and you're using the online Microsoft versions and things like that, you may like that.
You know, I had a conversation with myself earlier today about this exact topic.
Okay.
And that was that I don't think I have been fair enough to the Windows users, and some of this technology that's coming out. I've really kind of downplayed it, poo-pooed it, said it's really crummy.
Mm-hmm.
And in my own opinion, it really is. And I personally could not use it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized is that we're all different. And
right.
so there is a cluster of Windows users and lovers that they're integrated. They're in that environment.
Right.
And so the Windows phone, they've been missing. And so they love it. And it will do them really, really well. Because I really tried to look at it from my perspective of using Linux.
Right.
Linux is all I will ever use. I won't use Windows because I can't tie into the operating system and really, you know, make it do what I need to.
Right.
A Mac, you know, bless its heart, it's wonderful. It's solid. It's stable. It's built on BSD, which is a Unix-like.
Fast.
Yeah, it's fast. But you know what? I can't figure out the interface to save my life.
But you're a command line guy.
But yeah, I am a command line guy. Yeah. I like, you know, the old style, you know, double click on an icon and I know where stuff is.
Right.
But that's not for everybody. You know, I'm half programmer, half robot, and it works well for me.
Right.
But, you know, and it, depending on what you're doing with Linux, it's also great, you know, if you're browsing and doing just email and things like that, it's also very simple for that perspective too. So you know, getting back to the Windows part, I really realized that sometimes I've downplayed it and kind of shot down the whole concept of it, maybe prematurely, because truth is, I haven't really seen one of these Surface tablets or a Windows 8 phone. Now, I can honestly say, you know, from experience, I did not like the desktop, you know, version of Windows 8.
Right.
But we also had that question of how's it going to work on a tablet, and we haven't had that opportunity to see that yet. So I
haven't seen it firsthand either, but with the, speaking of the Windows 8 Surface tablets from Microsoft, the reviews that I've read have all said it works fine as a laptop, crummy as a tablet.
Hmm.
And partially because, again, that Windows 8 interface just is not, it's not a finished product. It feels very much like Vista did, that they experimented. They said, oh, okay, it's good enough. Let's put it out. And it is the weirdest interface in the world because nothing is consistent.
Right. And there was a user interface guru. I don't remember his name or his affiliation now. But he basically went through and wrote up point by point what was wrong with
Windows 8.
With Windows 8. And he says, this should never have made it to market.
Right.
He says, it's confusing.
It alienates your user base already.
Yeah, very, very much alienates, and there is so much hidden content that people are not going to be able to explore and get to everything that you would expect.
Right.
And I agree with them based on, you know, what I had played with. I had a hard time just getting to some of the administration functions, mm-hmm. and, you know, there were different sets of screens, and I can't fully even explain it.
No, it's very hard. Yeah. And the weird thing is they're trying to do, and again, partially because of they're trying to getting into tablets and touchscreens, they have the Microsoft Store, which is supposed to be kind of analogous to Apple's Store and to the Google Play Store, where you can go and search for apps and download apps and that kind of thing. But if it's a full-fledged Windows 8 app, it's a full-screen app with no way to minimize it, no way to exit it, and none of them are consistent. Some of them will have settings that you can customize. Even the weather. There's a weather app that comes with all Windows 8 computers, and you get into it, and if you're not someone who's used to exploring a little bit and is patient about exploring, it is darn near impossible to figure out how to change from, I think it comes up as, I want to say London. I don't know what it comes up with some goofy weather place. It doesn't even say Redmond, Washington.
So it doesn't even try and, like, GPS locate?
It will ask. It will ask you that eventually. It'll say, would you like the Weather Channel to or the weather app to figure out where you are? So it will do that eventually.
Nice.
But then you got to figure out, and it's written in a terminology like, should I? You know, and you go... But it's just ridiculous.
Now, have you been training people on using Windows 8?
I've only set up about 4 or 5 of them so far.
Okay.
And
how have they reacted to it?
Well, they all look at it and they're shell-shocked. Quite frankly, they're all shell-shocked. And what I do is I rearrange the tiles and try to put everything over on one screen. And if you haven't seen Windows 8, you have to just go search for it on Google Images. But it's all these big play school looking tiles, colorful tiles, and you can customize them to a degree and especially move them around. So I move them all over into one spot so they don't have to scroll sideways. And then I also put as many icons as I can on the traditional desktop, because there is a way to get to the traditional desktop, but you have to, it's a destination. It's not a, it's,
you have to know like a secret handshake or something to get there.
No, it's there, okay. but you have to be oriented to where it is.
Right.
And it
right.
doesn't have the start button. So there is no more start menu. It is unbelievable.
So go to a big box store and go look at the displays play with them.
Yeah.
I think ultimately that's probably the best way for people to really visualize it and understand it is go there and patronize the business there. And
I think Microsoft looked at the landscape and they said, boy, we're getting left behind. We got to do something different. And maybe by doing something different, we can recapture some of our past glory. And it's not working.
No.
In fact, there's been many articles in the since Windows 8 was released in October that sales are just pathetic. They're not selling as much as they thought they would. In fact, they're selling a lot less.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions I have is for some of the big corporations. I know that Windows XP was actually discontinued. I mean, support was supposed to be discontinued, but what I heard was that the big corporations are actually putting their foot down saying, no, it's the only thing we've got that really works.
Right.
And
it's extended now until July of 14. That's 13 years after its release date.
Yeah. And I'm looking at Windows 8, and I'm thinking there is no way a corporation...
They can't adopt that.
No, they can't. There is no way. 7, maybe. But even 7 had some issues at the enterprise level, and so I just really have to wonder, what are enterprises going to do going forward?
And if we look back into the yesteryear of Windows XP when it came out in 2001... Businesses back then were all running on either NT, which was from 95,
right,
or Windows 2000, which I think came out in 99. And they stayed with those for quite a few years. I saw people using Windows 2000 up into the mid-2000s, you know, 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them finally started adopting XP. Well, even our own local school district here in Grand Junction, everything in their system was 98 and 2000 until they finally, once they got the internet and high-speed internet, then they basically standardized and they had a contract with Dell and they had XP. But I think locally, I haven't been in the school districts for a couple of years. What are they using out at your school?
Out at Caprock, they're using, I believe that's Windows 7.
So they do have Windows 7.
I think it is.
But now they're a little different. They're not necessarily under the District 51 umbrella for
right.
tech?
Right, exactly. Okay. They're under a very different umbrella for technology.
Okay.
Yeah, so they maintain it themselves and have their own separate contracts.
I believe that if you go into any District 51 school, it's still XP.
Right.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah, because they're running the latest version of Office and everything. So they have 2010.
But that is the latest.
Yeah.
Yep, that is the latest. Interesting, interesting. All right, 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1. I'm going to check my Twitter just to see if...
All right, so I've...
Donna's usually good for a question or
so. Oh, yeah, Donna usually gives us some good stuff. Anything today?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay, well, you know, going along with my happy birthday, we've decided to get... ourselves. Well, we're switching network providers.
Okay. You mean internet providers?
Phone service.
Phone service.
Phone service providers.
Because you're currently AT&T.
We're currently AT&T.
Okay.
And so we're going to move to Verizon.
Cool.
And part of the reason was because of where my wife is now working is downtown.
And AT&T sucks downtown.
It's been horrendous. And we've had texts that have been delayed by hours, sometimes a day.
Voicemail.
Voicemails have just been, it's kind of been weird. And it's really unfortunate. We've been with them for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And really no complaints other than because of where she's focusing on, you know, for work, she needs the reliability.
Well, from a business standpoint, you would think that if you're covering a city, you would want to cover the city well where the people are. Now, in Grand Junction, people the greatest majority of commerce, let's say, is happening downtown. School at the Mesa State College, or Mesa, what is it?
Or CMU.
CMU, Colorado Mesa University. I still can't get used to that.
Yeah, I know.
And St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of CMU, CMU's right next door to Community Hospital.
Yes.
Those are the four worst areas for AT&T in the city.
Yeah, and do you know what's really disturbing is that the tower, the radio tower that the college uses for their radio, is leased out to an AT&T tower, and so there is there is wireless up there.
Okay.
But yet it has one of the worst coverages.
And I think maybe there's too many people on those towers.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
I don't know.
But
you would think from a business standpoint, if you're trying to sell your service,
yeah.
And when I go into AT&T, they try to say, oh, you're isolated. I know I'm not isolated because when I talk to other AT&T people, they say the same thing.
Yeah, it's a pattern, and it's been there for a long time.
So you're going to Verizon. So talk about that.
Yeah, so, it was interesting because I was looking at the coverage maps of all these companies, and I got kind of curious.
Which are
kind
of squirrely as well.
They really are. Verizon basically says they're everywhere.
We're good everywhere.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, all right, well, you know, so that's not a good one to look at, but right. Why don't we go ahead and take this call?
Okay. All right, 241-8801. I got our first call here this hour. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Well, not that you can help me, but I just thought I would inform you that District 51 did install 7.
Oh, cool. So they're up to 7 now.
Oh, yeah.
And is this the first year they've been on 7?
That was at the beginning of the year. Over the summer, they installed that in all the computers.
Cool. So they were XP through last year. Now they're up to 7. Nice. Very good. And they're still with Dell?
Yes.
Are you one of the tech guys for District 51?
No. I'm a teacher, and I was just coming back from a class, and I heard you guys.
Cool. Well, that's good. And so if you're a teacher there, are you? Did you have Windows 7 at the house before you got it at school?
No.
So it's new to you then?
Oh, yeah.
And what are your thoughts?
No problem.
No. Good.
You just kind of mess around with it like you do anything else, and pretty soon you figure it out. Figure it out.
So. Well, very good. And that's the attitude you got to have with technology, that's for sure. But there's a lot of people that get frustrated. Hey, well, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks.
Bye.
241-8801 extension 1. So there it is. Yep. Got a teacher saying but here it is. Windows 7 came out in, let me do my math here, 2009.
Sounds about right. I was going to say about three years. Yeah.
So, and that's about what it takes and that's early adoption for large companies and large government agencies is to adopt something that quickly.
Right.
Because they want it to be mature. They want to have their systems in place so they can roll it out and support it in a very comfortable manner for the people that are using it. So, Windows 8 won't even be looked at for bigger companies and bigger organizations for a minimum of 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And unless Microsoft decides to scrap the tiles and do a regular desktop, I don't see it going into commerce and into industry.
Yeah, I'm thinking they are going to simply have to have a classic mode that is easy to turn on.
Right.
That just goes back to, you know, what people are used to.
Right.
If they don't do that, I think they're risking market share. You know, people ask me, you know, Windows 8 or Mac?
If you're not going to consider Linux,
right?
And I still think that the more and more I see the Windows operating system and see the machines are not, they're fast, but they're not Apple fast, and they're not Linux fast.
No,
they are. Windows 8 is quick for the first week or so, and then it quickly degrades like all the other Windows versions. It's still hard to maintain. It's still hard to operate for the average user. If you're not in a District 51 that has support people constantly keeping it propped up from behind the scenes, and at the same time keeping the users pigeonholed into just certain areas, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. It's a nightmare. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. When are you going to switch?
Okay. It's actually in the process. So we've already made the decision you know, phone's coming, be here in a couple of days.
Which phones do you decide to go with?
That's an interesting pedestal I want to stand on here.
Okay. Do you stay with Android?
No.
Ah.
We did go with the iPhone.
Okay.
With iPhone 5.
Good.
But
I think you're going to like it.
I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and this is my little soapbox, is that I wanted to use Android.
Right. And you have been for a few years.
And I have. Yeah. You know, I've got a nice one. I like it. I wanted to see what the Nexus was all about. But my hand was played for me.
Okay. Oh, why?
And this relates back to, you know, think about the late 90s when if you wanted to go to your banking site or some other site, it would basically say, if you're not using IE,
right,
you can't use it. You can't watch it. And so you would have to go open up IE and everything. It was an inconvenience because developers were only developing for one platform.
Okay.
Well, I've got a vendor that I'm using
that only has an app for the Apple products.
But now you know why that is, right?
Sure, because they have to separately work on them, you know, on two different platforms.
Right.
But there are some cross-platform things that people are working on, and I just wish they were further along.
Right.
And this happens to be a big vendor.
Right.
A big, big vendor that really they should have both.
Well, but I think what's happening, and we've talked about this before, if you are spending money on developing mobile technology and you have one system that is the number one system and it's used most. In fact, the other statistics we've seen with the mobile shopping is that even though they're in the ecosystem, there's a lot more quote unquote Android systems.
Right.
Very few people surf the net with them. And even fewer people actually shop with their Android phones.
You know, there's...
And that's an interesting statistic to me.
Yeah, the advertise... you know, I was talking a little bit ago about, you know, the desktops going down and the mobile phones going up. Well,
right.
They discussed that exact same thing with mobile ads.
Right.
That the iPhone, you know, they're reaching, you know, a really large number of clicks and
right.
everything that they would expect. The Android, there's almost nothing.
Right.
And my
reasons why, and I love Google, and I was hoping Android is going to be successful,
mm-hmm.
And in some degrees it is successful, but
yeah.
the fact that people aren't using it, I think, is where it's not successful
yeah.
because their store has been, by all measures, I should say, a failure. It has so many apps in it that are crappy.
Yeah,
there are so many apps in there that only work for certain phones.
True.
And that's where, as a company, you have to make a decision which Android system I'm going to develop for. 4.0,
right.
3.0, do I go back to 2.2? You know, and that becomes a very serious cost prohibitive kind of a thing
yep.
if you're trying to figure out how extensive am I going to go to Android or I just stay away from it.
Yeah, very, very valid points.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that Google is going to simply have to face is I know they don't want to be a product developer.
Right.
They need to step up to the plate and start developing the product and putting their name on it
right.
rather than saying, you know.
When buying Motorola, maybe that's where they're headed. I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're trying to leverage the Motorola brand. And, you know, they're still outsourcing to Acer, to Samsung. You know,
right.
they've got their Nexus brand. But it's not them.
Right.
It's not theirs. You know, we were talking about that Google TV. It's not their brand that's on there.
Right.
It's Vizio or Samsung and one other brand.
Logitech used to have one.
Yeah, that was, wow, that was pretty
bad.
That
was their first one.
That was their first one.
Right.
And you know, it wasn't Google either.
Right.
And there wasn't the quality that you would expect from Google.
Well, they wanted to be open source
right.
to allow people to develop. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're in the Apple platform, Apple is the sole ruler of the whole system.
Right.
So if you don't follow their rules and if you don't get approved by them, you don't get to play.
Right.
So if you're not playing on their field with their ball, what Google did is they created a park and they said you can go out and build your own ball field. You can bring your own ball and bring your own color of ball and do whatever you want. Make your own rules.
Right.
That doesn't work in the computing world.
It's not.
Not very easily.
It's not. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, some of the bad things that have happened. I mean, there is a lot of malware that is
right.
attached to, you know, some of the apps in Google. And they recognize it. They're going to tighten up the reins, but they don't want to.
But that doesn't give confidence to their users.
No.
Then they got to decide, well, am I downloading this Angry Birds app? Is it really Angry Birds?
Right.
Or
right.
is it some knockoff that's going to give me that's going to tank my phone?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So they're really going to have to consider approving apps and
right.
really going through some sort of an approval process. That is what keeps the ecosphere in Apple so clean, is because they have, you know, guidelines. I think at the very least they need to just verify that it's not malware
mm-hmm.
and that it meets other certain
and they're
minimal
trying.
Requirements.
I know they're trying.
Yeah.
Now speaking of apps, I've got to throw out here 241-8801 extension 1 is our phone number. 241-8801 extension 1. I have two questions for listeners.
Yeah.
Number one, we posed a question about an article here. Should we consider the smartphone a computer? I'd love to hear what the listeners say.
Absolutely.
Do they think it's a computer or not?
Yeah.
But the second question I have, and I always like to talk to people when they get a new device, a tablet or a phone, what is your favorite function of that phone or what is your favorite app that you've added? And I'm going to give my app of the week here. And it's a website I've been using on and off for a while, but because it's a website and I'm not always at my computer, I haven't used it a lot. But it's called Duolingo, D-U-O-L-I-N-G-O, Duolingo. And it's a great, really a fun system for learning a new language. And what it does is it actually incorporates, it's free, it's a free service, and they just came out with an iPhone app. And what it does is you have to translate phrases and words. So it'll present a word or a phrase to you, and then you have to kind of memorize it there. And then as you go through the steps, they repeat it over and over in different ways. So they'll give you the Spanish version, they'll give you the English version, then they'll give you a Spanish phrase, and then you give them the English phrase. And then it gives you on-the-spot feedback on whether you got it right or wrong, and if you got it wrong, why you got it wrong. And sometimes they'll read you. You'll hear a woman say, "Los niños leche." Los niños beben leche. So what does that mean? The children are drinking milk. Yeah, and so you have to type that out. Or they'll say, type in Spanish, "The children are drinking milk." And it's very cool, very fun, and very interactive. And it's very quick. You can do a couple of minutes, or you can sit there and do it for an hour. And it's really fun. But they just came out with the app just this week for the iPhone, and I've been using it every night. And it's fun. Or if I'm even during the day, if I have a couple of minutes between customers and I'm finished returning calls, I'll do a few of those.
Nice.
And it's really cool. It's called Duolingo. So that's my second question to folks is, what is your favorite app that you are using on your mobile device? So 241-8801 extension 1. We have two questions for you, or you can ask us a question. We're asking you questions. You can ask us questions. Either way, 241-8801 extension 1. Okay, now I'm interested in your Google TV for two reasons, but I'll tell you my reasons in a minute. Which Google TV did you get? Is there a new one out?
This is the Vizio.
So, and that's a new one, isn't it?
It is a newer one. Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
And it's a set-top box.
Yeah. It's just a little. It looks like a Roku. I mean, it's just a box. In the back, it has two HDMI connections. One is an input, so that you can input from a cable top box, and then the output goes to your TV.
Okay.
And then it has Wi-Fi access or an Ethernet cable.
Go either way.
Either way, yep.
Very cool.
And I used it as Wi-Fi, as the Wi-Fi option.
And it's strong enough streaming?
It's strong enough. I mean, the truth is, you know, it's a Christmas present, and so I'm not been able to really test it as well as I want to quite yet. But, you know, it took about 20 minutes to set up. It made it easy to set up a new email address. So I set up a family email address.
Okay, so you set up something separate from what you normally would.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that was for the family, you know, so the pictures were there. And then none of my stuff would accidentally get cross, you know, pollinated in there.
Right.
And so the OS version, it runs Android.
Right.
And so the first thing that it let me know was it was out of date.
What version?
I believe it was Jelly Bean.
Four? Is that four?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
I don't remember. Anyhow, so first thing I did was update it, and it took a couple minutes, you know, maybe 5 minutes or so to update and everything, and went through and played with the buttons. But it comes with a remote control. It allows you to actually set up your remote control to work with your TV and everything.
And I'm looking at the remote. Does it have a QWERTY?
Yes. It's a two-sided.
Cool.
It was really neat. It is bulky. It's a big brick.
Okay.
But, you know, on the one side.
I see it here.
Yeah, on the one side, you actually have a touchpad, so you can use it as a mouse.
Nice.
On the screen. And it has, you know, volume control, channel control, things like that. And then you flip it over where you need to type in, where you're searching for something, and you use it like you would, a keyboard.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And so you can do full web browsing on your TV.
Full web browsing.
Yep. And TV, you know, like streaming apps are supported by the Google TV, Vizio TV.
Right. Well, let's see. They've got the Amazon, Netflix. They do not have Hulu Plus, but I believe that's a licensing issue, so that you can't get your Hulu Plus there. But what else? YouTube. YouTube streams there real well.
Okay.
And it's really neat. I like the YouTube. It was one of the few things that I really had a chance to play with because it went full screen HD.
And I'm seeing that you can download an app for your Android.
Exactly.
Cool.
For your phone so that you can use your phone or your tablet as a remote control if
you
don't want
to. I like that.
Yeah. And so I think that's better integration than a physical brick.
Yes.
But I honestly say the brick is Bluetooth, so it's not infrared. So you
don't have to be
looking at it.
So you don't
have to point it. Other than, you know, your TV or your Blu-ray device or whatever, you know, that has, so it does have an infrared end on it so that you can point and control those things. And it gives you the option to type in what the model number, make and model of your devices are.
Right.
And it allows you to go through and it try some different combinations to try and connect it. So you know, all in all, it took me 20, 30 minutes to get it all connected and play with it and understand it.
Nice. Produces a good picture.
A great picture. I mean, as good as your TV is going to produce.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So very nice.
You know, like I say, I didn't...
Now, why'd you settle on the Google TV, the Vizio TV, versus some of the other options, Roku, Apple TV,
right,
Boxy Box?
Yeah. Well, we really were looking at the difference between Roku, Apple TV, and Google TV. Those were our, you know, three that we
didn't
really
look at. Boxy then.
We didn't look at Boxy.
And Western Digital has one now too, a Western Digital, they call it a multimedia streaming device or something.
I didn't
yeah.
even know about that yeah. one as an option.
Yeah.
And truth was that, you know, I saw the Vizio as a Pandora ad.
Okay.
So, you know, that paid off for them.
Okay.
They used language that made sense to me. So I, you know, kind of followed that in. And then I researched, tried to figure out what was going to work best for me. And I like the concept of having apps that are upgradable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of took the Roku out, because the Roku is really just for TV and streaming, and you can't really go out and about beyond that.
Right.
So we kind of took that out, and then we compared the Apple versus the Google TV. And I don't remember what the defining moment was, but I think when we looked at the Vizio comparison of features, there was something in there that really told us that Google TV was just the way to go.
Donna's getting in touch with us. We'll read Donna's tweets here in a minute, but
excellent.
Let's go back to the phones at 241-8801, extension 1. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have a question about using Google Calendar or other applications.
Oh, cool. Love it.
So I've tried Google Calendar, and what wasn't working for me was I couldn't put all the information that I needed to see and be able to see it on a month view.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And previously I had used Microsoft Publisher, but that was frustrating because boxes get moved around and you mm-hmm. have to put a text box. And so what I'm looking for is a month view where I can put as much information in one box.
And you're talking about it in a print format then?
No, looking at it online, but I need to be able to see the whole month at one time with a lot of information.
And so now are you talking multiple appointments per day, or what kind of information do you put in your calendar?
Mostly just one or two things, but it's like time and place and people and programs.
Gotcha. Okay. And so are you the only one that needs to look at it, or is it looked at by many people?
Other people need to look at it too, but it doesn't need to be shared like Google Calendar does.
Okay.
It's only a few people and we're in close proximity.
Wow. See, and I think what you're describing, because you have so much information on it, Matt, help me out on this if you have any ideas, but I'm thinking that what you're describing, the publisher, even though it's much more, it is a pain to have to put that together and it's not online, what you're describing is to have that information viewable. The only way I can imagine that you could do this on the Google Calendar is to do, I don't think you can do this either. I was going to say you could do an all-day event, but all-day events will just be compressed at the top of your calendar, even in the monthly view.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to have to try to find, there is a family calendar out there. Do you remember that one, Matt? I know maybe Adam shared it with us one time, but an online family calendar that allowed you, instead of to have strict time functions on your calendar, you could do you could just, like what you're saying, type in an event, type in information about the event and that kind of thing. And I just found it. It's called Cozy, COZI.
Okay.
Cozy. And it's considered, they call it the number one, and this has nothing to do with you being female. It just happened to be, this came up and this is what their tag is. It says number one app for moms by moms. I don't know why it says that, but it's, but what it's designed to do is to be kind of a calendar/announcement board versus a strict kind of a calendar. And I'm thinking this might be the type of thing you're looking for and asking about. So it's C-O-Z-I, Cozy.
Great. I will check it out. Yeah, I really did try Google Calendar and gave it a fair shot to see if it met the needs of this particular calendar, and
right.
I didn't. So I went back. And
And you're back on Publisher for now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you might like this because it is online, so you can access it from anywhere. And
okay. And
you don't have to be at one single computer, and easier to publish and share and things like that. And they do have mobile apps available for smartphones and tablets.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you for your help. I love your show.
Hey, thanks. We appreciate you calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, all right. Rick, I've never even heard of this Cozy thing, so I'm kind of engaging in it. That's neat.
Yeah, C-O-Z-I. And it's been around a while, and I think Adam's the one that first discovered it many years ago. But it's been around quite a while, and I think it'll do more what she wants it to do.
Excellent.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. We were talking about, where were we headed there? Oh, I know where we're headed. Donna, I was reading Donna's tweets real fast.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about.
Before I go back to Google TV. So Donna says that she definitely thinks smartphones are computers, and we agree with her. And she also said that her favorite app right now is called Hours Tracker. And she says it's an invaluable tool, indispensable tool, for tracking hours for her various jobs. I think Dawn is a freelancer.
I believe so, yeah.
And so she uses a tool called Hours Tracker to keep track. And I've seen this. I've never used it, but it's a, you know, many folks are doing freelance. They need to track how many hours they're working on a project so they can present it to their employers. And so
right.
That's what she's using. Very
nice.
Cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yep.
And I've got Becky who chimes in. She says, on my iPad, I mostly use my CourseSmart app, which holds all my books for college.
Yep.
And on my phone, it's definitely Facebook.
Oh, how funny. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet Matt at Matt Kettlewell, right?
No, Facebook.
Kettlewell on Twitter.
Right. Matt Kettlewell on Facebook. Yep.
Or tweet me at Help Me Rick and tell us what your favorite apps are. Or give us a call. We have a few more minutes before we have to get off the air.
And I've got one from Carolyn.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and
I love it.
Yeah, she says on her Droid, she uses Time Clock. Lets me track not only my hours, but hours by projects that I...
Sounds like Donna's.
Yeah, that I can then set the parameters. For my music, I love Mood Agent. Selects a playlist of my music based on what I select for a mood.
And she's an Android user?
Yes, this is for a Droid.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. That was Carolyn.
Carolyn. Yes,
yep.
Correct.
Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks, Donna. Thanks, folks, for signing. I'd say I love that. That's a part that I love sharing because we all use these devices for different things. And it's always fun to learn what people are using the device for. And then I get great ideas for myself. And I appreciate that. So 241-8801, extension 1. If someone has an idea for a calendar other than Cozy, for our previous caller, chime in real fast, and we'll share it with her over the air.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I found as a WordPress developer with calendars is calendars are kind of slim on really the options. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into making them finessed, and so when you find a good one like Cozy, that really is a gem.
Right.
And finding a way to integrate that into a website it's just a big nightmare.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to see what sort of options they have for that.
Well, and so many people use calendars just as a scheduling device, and our caller was really wanting to use it as kind of almost scheduling/announcements.
Right.
And I know exactly what she's talking about, to be able to read that calendar online. Way back when there was when we all still used desktop computers and you had to download something from the internet or buy something, there was a great tool called Calendar Creator.
Right.
And it was a mainstay for years for schools and businesses to create custom calendars. But again, that was mainly for printing.
I was going to say that was a print option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway,
and we've got some answers to, is a smartphone a computer?
Okay.
iPhone is closer to a computer than Android. Another one says, of course it is. Is it in question because of its size? And then another one just simply says in all caps, yes.
Yeah, I think
it is a computer. So.
And I think the fact that we use them so much is testament to that.
Uh-huh.
So very cool.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the interaction out there. 241-8801, extension 1 is a phone number. Actually, we probably don't have time to take another call unless you call right now. But we appreciate all the calls and tweets we've gotten today and the Facebook interaction on Matt's page.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I was curious about your Google TV as we go out here is last week I did some trade for a woman who had an extra Roku.
Oh.
So I did some uh-huh. bartering,
yeah.
and I took the Roku home. Can't say that I'm impressed with it. It
wow.
really is. It if you want to pay for streaming through Netflix and Hulu and those and like you mentioned Vudu
right.
and those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things, I think
yeah.
it works great.
Yeah.
But if you want to be able to get music or photos and
yeah.
things from your computer, you've got to go through a lot of extra hoops to make it happen.
Right, right.
And it can happen, but it's not elegant.
Right.
But and I've mentioned this in the past. I'm a real fan of kind of watching what's going on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other things I've supported, I finally got the shipment number just today
yeah.
coming from Dubai, and it's called the Infinitech is the company. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go look here real fast. But they came out with their own Google TV stick. And so,
oh,
and
nice.
Let me see what they call it real quick.
Yeah.
Infinitech.
Darn it.
And we talked about this in the past.
Yeah. I think you had mentioned that.
Oh, Pocket TV.
Pocket TV.
That's what they're calling it. The Infinitech
wow.
Pocket TV. And they're finally shipping. And so I'm excited to get that. And so it's just a little USB stick that you can plug in any computer or TV. And that takes USB.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
And uh-huh. then it connects via Wi-Fi and.
You've got
your TV through there.
That is pretty slick. You know, but it being based on Android, I mean, it is open source.
Right.
And this is the benefit that Google was really pushing for. Was
exactly.
They wanted some innovation to come out of Android. This is it.
Right.
But when it comes to phones and tablets, I honestly think that...
it has that Air Remote, kind of like you were talking about
oh,
with the Vizio.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how it works out. It was just fun watching it and... getting in on the ground floor, and they've given great updates about where they've been in the process and that kind of deal. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice.
All right, well, we will be back in 2 weeks, Matt and I. In the meantime, you can catch Matt online, Kettlewell, at Kettlewell on Twitter, Matt Kettlewell on Facebook.
Right.
You can catch me at helpmerick.com or on Twitter at helpmerick as well. But we had fun talking with you tonight, and as always, we just love shooting the breeze about technology. Hopefully you enjoyed listening. And have a great rest of the evening. Keep listening to great music here on KFM Radio 88.1, Grand Junction, Colorado. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
When the morning comes, put the night on the run. Let's not stop this fun, 'cause ask me to, tell me to, beg me to.